This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. As always, back on the show, Rue Islam, our friend from Dashlane. Rue, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Bradley.
So, coming up at the end of the year, it seems like something I talk about every fall is passkeys, and just again continuing to see a lot of adoption. Not necessarily obviously on the user side, but I, in terms of like we're seeing websites, brands, accounts, etc., kind of making that the default. And so again, there's very few things in life that I think companies, for-profit companies, are going to agree on. And so it's fun to see passkey adoption continue to grow. You all put out a recent report looking at the growth, some of the stats, and kind of where we're headed. So just to kick us off, you know, what are the high-level takeaways from this report?
Yeah, so this report is split into two sections. The first section is overall, like the number of authentications that are happening on a passkey, right? So the takeaway there is there's a lot of websites that are involving some sort of transaction. Could be a financial transaction, could be, you know, cryptocurrencies. So we're seeing a lot of these types of sites supporting passkeys. And that's, I think, an interesting observation because you want to make sure that these accounts are protected and, you know, the ease of accessing these accounts is provided by passkeys. The other thing we're seeing at the top end of this chart is sites that have very large user bases and potentially are re-authenticating their users like Amazon or Google, which is actually at the top, you know, that they have massive adoption of passkey usage. The second part of the report goes into the sites that have been we've seen grow in the last 3 months. And I think that's where we've seen a lot of sites that you wouldn't typically expect, not a lot of tech, you know, tech or finance related sites in there that are very, very remarkable, I'd say.
Passkey, again, something you said there really kind of triggered a lot to me. You're talking about cryptocurrency. And I think there was a lot at play there in terms of like bare assets. And I don't think when you send Bitcoin, for example, if I wanted to send Bitcoin from here to you, there's no middleman. There's nobody that controls it and there's nobody that can reverse it. And we've never in human history had a bare asset that could be transmitted digitally. You know, I have to say bare asset for those listening. I mean, like, you know, if I give you gold, even if I say, hey, you stole the gold, like you have the gold. You can then do whatever you want to with gold. Same thing with dollars and cents. Like these are bare assets. Like, you know, what's the finders keepers, losers weepers still saying with your kids. And so when you think of like Bitcoin as, I mean, you know, regardless of how you feel about it, it's a $2 trillion asset, and there's never been a $2 trillion asset in the history of the world that's ever disappeared. So, like, this is here. This technology is here to stay, and it's obviously it's based on a lot of, you know, technology powering cryptography. And so you think about the idea, like, if this continues to grow, that shows even more importance of passkeys. Because, again, like, it's like annoying and bad if my insert e-commerce web, you know, account gets hacked. Like that's a very annoying, and maybe there are some charges I have to deal with on my credit card to like reverse them. Okay. Like that's very annoying and frustrating and bad for security, all the things. But when you start thinking about a bare financial instrument that can be transmitted digitally, you do need this kind of technology to authenticate it. Cause at some point, like you want to be able to essentially, like I look at like passkeys in some ways as like offline authentication. Like, you know, my fingerprint, my retina scan, like these are offline. These are local. And so, like, I think that just shows even the need as we potentially transition into just a new world where, you know, you see seeing things around stable coins with, you know, around the world. Like, when you send these, there is really often no recourse on getting that back. There's no chargeback on Bitcoin. And so I think it just highlights the need for, you know, as our financial world moves into this model, you need passkey technology to secure it. And it's really the first time I've thought about that. It's like these things have to go hand in hand.
Yeah. And I mean, there's two things that passkeys provide. One thing is convenience. And I think that's where the e-commerce sites are benefiting because it's the time to check out, right? How easy is that flow into getting into the site to buy something? And then what you mentioned around Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, well, here you've got that phishing resistance. Those accounts are probably protected with a password, and that is a phishable credential. And account takeovers have a lot more damage in those cases. So I think passkeys do this great thing where they satisfy both that security need and also the convenience of using them really well. I think this is why they are partly successful, is because they marry convenience and security, which is actually really hard to do. You either get one or the other. It's quite rare to get both of them at the same time.
I never thought about that. That is a really good point. Usually it is the pendulum is one or the other. You know, you all had a thing opening the support with like a really strong statement that the password era is ending not through mandate, but through momentum. And I think that's very true. And I do believe like in a decade, two decades, we're going to look back at this current era of maybe not even this era, because like we do have the alternative, but like the era when, you know, let's go back to like before even, you know, one-time passwords, you know, MFA. We'll look at that like shutting down your computer to put it, quote unquote, put it into park. This is those antiquated like things about computers that we remember from 25, 30 years ago. I think we'll look at passwords the same way because, like you said, there is functionally no reason. Like if you were starting today with technology, it was a blank slate and you had, okay, we got passkey technology over here. Again, a technology, it's a standard. It's not owned by a company. You've got passkeys on one side, then you've got passwords on the other. There is no reason, if you were starting fresh, building from first principles, why you would use passwords. You would 100% use passkeys.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting because passkeys have only been around since 2022. And I would say for decades, someone somewhere has declared the end of passwords and it hasn't come through. I think passwords are very easy to, like the mental model is very easy to understand, it's very easy to implement, but they obviously come with a huge list of flaws, not just the security flaws, the convenience flaws as well. And, you know, we've seen all the memes that people share of the ridiculous attempts sites try to use to kind of bolster the password security, you know, use different characters, different lengths, et cetera, et cetera. And then on top of that, you might get, like you mentioned, TOTP added. So it's impressive for me how far the industry's come, or, you know, how far society's come in that short period of time. And we're used to things in technology happening fast, but replacing passwords is not an easy thing to achieve. And I feel like there's really solid progress has been made between 2022 and now. So like what you're saying, in let's say 10 years from now, I think it's just not going to be a topic. No one's going to even really mention it, talk about it. Like the word passkey is meant to replace the word password. It's a sort of common noun. And I really believe that's just going to be the truth of it in 10 years. People will just be referring to it as a credential that, you know, today is understood as the password. Tomorrow it will be password, but you won't even mention it. Sorry, passkey. You won't even mention it. It'll just be ubiquitous.
In looking in the report, we're seeing really, I think, two brands, and I think they're both sort of in different. They're not. They're in different industries, but they're very prominent. That have seen some rapid growth, even though like they've just in some ways launched it, you know, somewhat recently. HubSpot and Okta, which I think, you know, obviously Okta is a huge player in the SSO market, but HubSpot, you know, is just a rapidly growing CRM brand, just doing lots of incredible stuff. What do you make of like their such rapid growth and some of their excitement? I mean, again, you know, HubSpot, like their CISO, Alyssa Robinson, at HubSpot, we've seen firsthand the impact passkeys have when they're not able to just increase security, but simultaneously reduce user friction. That again, this goes back to what you said. There, I can't think of another technology that at the same time, like again, oh, you know, many of them like over time got maybe security was first, and over time convenience became embedded. But like both of these, day one, better security reduces user friction. That's amazing. What do you make of HubSpot and Okta's success?
Honestly, they don't surprise me. Companies like HubSpot and Okta, it does not surprise me that they are, you know, adopting passkeys. Okta is quite a big participant in the FIDO Alliance. This is not shocking or surprising to me. Actually, what I'm going to kind of pivot here a little bit for you. What is surprising is in the second part of the report, we have third in the list, which is the German labor, sort of state labor office. And down in the middle, we have the National Health Service of the UK. Now, these are services that are not part of the tech world, right? And they're going to touch ordinary people's lives. If you're for those that are not familiar with the NHS in the UK, anyone that, you know, requires medical services free of use at the point of use, they're going to need to interact with an NHS service. And the fact that a national organization like the NHS service is, you know, adopting passkeys tells you something that, you know, this has gone beyond the Oktas and the HubSpots of the world, which is, I think, significant. And the German state, you know, the federal cybersecurity office this year actually put out material promoting the use of passkeys for federal services. So I think that to me tells me much more about the success of passkeys and the momentum than like tech companies, because, you know, FIDO Alliance, the standards body that is, you know, curating the standards around this, it's full of tech companies. So that doesn't surprise me. But what you don't see in the FIDO Alliance is the National Health Services of the UK or the German cybersecurity organization. So the fact that, you know, we're starting to reach these organizations tells me that passkeys is really moving beyond sort of, hey, let's adopt passkeys. This is now taking off, let's say. The momentum's quite strong.
Yeah, it's a fair point because it makes sense for tech companies to be the pioneers here. But when you see, you know, non-tech companies making it the default, that's a good point. And I, you know, one of the things that I think was great about the report is the discussion around Google. You know, obviously Google, you know, on the enterprise side, you know, there's a lot to say there. But then back in late 2023, they made passkeys the default login for personal Google accounts. And that's one of those, like, again, this, I've said this probably 15 times on this show, passkeys is gradually, then suddenly. And and I think we're very, very, very close to that suddenly moment. And I think we'll look back to Google's decision to basically maybe expose its hundreds of millions of users to passkeys as the default. That'll be seen as like, okay, that kind of made it not a tech thing anymore. Like, this is not like, oh, this is your company's MFA security tool. This is like regular Google accounts. And, you know, and I've thought about this recently, like, in, you know, like I, you know, been in tech for, you know, two decades now. And so when I look at like maybe the things in my life that seemed like, oh, this is a new thing, like a password manager being a new thing. Well, like I've had a password manager for 20 years. So functionally half of my life, I've had a password manager. I don't think in 20 more years, I'm not going to have a password manager. So like, there's going to be a day like 40, you know, 20 more years from now, I'm going to be in my 60s and be like, yeah, I've had a password manager since in my 20s. And that seems strange to me to like think about that. Like, but it's like so much of what we look at is like, oh, this is all recent tech stuff. It's like, no, like a lot of these things are becoming very just like commonplace day to day. Like having a password manager is not weird. Like that's not a tech thing. That's like just like a part of, it's like part of having a wallet. Like every adult has like a wallet of some sort. Every adult probably gonna have a password manager of some sort.
And that's a really, I think that's a really good point that you're making here. Passwords can be used without a password manager, although it's dangerous and risky. And we know all the flaws, you know, people come up with weak and reusable passwords. You cannot use a passkey without technology, because it's based on fundamental technologies that make it, you know, phishing resistant, make it cryptographically sound. And that requires a password manager or some other technology. So you can store these things on hardware security keys for those that need that high level of assurance. But, you know, you're going to use either your default password manager that comes with your system, or you'll look at the market and choose one of the third party providers. So if we're thinking in 10 years, everyone is going to be using passkeys rather than password, that also means everyone will be using a password manager of some sort. And like you say, you've been using it, such a thing for 20 years. It's going to be a new thing for a lot of folks. But I think passkeys is kind of driving it. Apple and Google, you know, Microsoft recently are announcing, push of their functionality. And I think that push is even more so because of passkeys, because you just simply cannot authenticate if you don't have a password manager set up.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Apple, and I think one of the things they added with iOS 26, released a few months ago, I think it was critical, was that portability. And obviously that's not technology that Apple invented. They are adopting it, but that's technology that the FIDO Alliance built, is this portability, which I think is absolutely critical, because you should not be locked in. Again, going back to this, like, you're going to have a password, manager. Everybody will have a password manager. Again, like, I love Apple products today. I've been a Mac user for many, many years. I don't know, like 10 years from now, like maybe there's something different than the iPhone I don't want to use. And if I'm using Apple's Passwords app and I have 20 years of history in Apple's Passwords app and it's really, really complicated to move, maybe I don't switch companies. So and vice versa, like if someone's had another provider and wants to switch to Apple after 20 years, like it's good for the industry for everybody to be able to move. Because what happens if it's not easy to move, people are probably just going to default to less secure options. And so in some ways, portability makes it where, again, it's much more secure.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd just like to mention Apple has been fully supportive of this credential exchange concept that, we standardized in the FIDO Alliance with the help of companies like Apple, Google, Microsoft, and others. This was one of the big fears that was sort of discussed online around passkeys, this sort of vendor lock-in concept that, this is just another reason to lock you into a certain ecosystem. That's not the case. As we've seen, as you mentioned, with the release of iOS 26 or any of the 26 OSs such as macOS or VisionOS, you get credential exchange built into the system. And what that means for those that are not familiar is that you can very easy, within a few taps, move all your credentials that may be in Apple Passwords to another product that supports credential exchange and vice versa. And that was a big piece of allowing passkeys to be adopted widespread without this fear of getting locked in. And we got a lot of positive feedback when this feature was discussed and announced. And we're seeing that exchange happening at Dashlane. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's the right thing to do to allow users to port their data. If you create a bad product, the market should force you to improve your product by allowing users to leave your product. Conversely, if you create a great experience, then it shouldn't be burdensome for users to come and start using your product because, some platform is locking your credentials in. Now, it was easy with passwords because they were kind of plain text strings. You couldn't do the same thing with passkeys as you did with passwords. So this was a necessary technology, but it's helped, part of the momentum around passkeys.
Well, no, I think that's a fair point. I'm glad you clarified, like, Apple's been a huge supporter of the FIDO Alliance. And again, you see the companies are involved. They don't agree on anything. I don't think they can even agree on, like, what brand of coffee to serve at a conference. So I think it's really cool that they agreed here. But again, as you said, this is like one of those things where, you're actually putting companies' incentives to the test where, like, yeah, there's a risk to Apple if it's easy. Let's say Microsoft had a phone. Maybe you've got Microsoft has a phone, Google has a phone, Apple has an iPhone. you don't, the mentality is, oh, if I make it, if I don't adopt this portability technology, the mentality is not like I'll lose customers. No, like you don't want to keep customers who are only staying with you because they can't, it's hard to leave. That's not a good way to drive expansion, to growth, continue purchases. You should look at it as like, we have the best products. I want to make it easy for people to move into us. And as long as everybody has that incentive, then that's a huge win for consumers on the personal side, but also on the enterprise side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the enterprise is something that requires more work to tackle in terms of credential exchange. You know, the enterprise is, I would say, an order of magnitudes more complex. You, in the consumer side, you're typically the relationship between, you know, is between the user and the product, right? They're moving their data from one product to another. On the enterprise level, you have a deployment of, a, let's say, a password manager at the enterprise, and you the company may decide to switch provider, which is quite an undertaking. Today, what's happening is either they're abandoning credentials and reprovisioning all their credentials in the new provider, or they're going through the messy process of like CSV files, which is an order of magnitude riskier in an enterprise because now you have these text files with passwords littered in your organization, which is a huge risk. So the next step, I would say, for credential exchange beyond what we've seen with the release of iOS 26 and we'll see in other operating systems going forward is how do we get enterprises to have that benefit of data portability, but supporting more complex features such as how can we move across like sharing structures so that if an employee shares a credential with another employee, that relationship is also carried over when you change product. And the concepts are very similar between a lot of these products. The inner workings are not the same, but the concepts are. So if those concepts can be represented at that sort of standardized layer, then I think we can find very interesting use cases in the future. And they'll know that use cases.
That's a fair point. Like there's just, there's a lot, you know, on the enterprise side, there's always a lot more variables there to consider. And again, so you can kind of see this. I talked to Jeremy Butcher from Apple a few months ago and talking about like some of the things they're building now are actually like things that are building on other things they built recently. So like, it's like you kind of start to layer on these new features. And so you like, you have new technology, but a new feature. Oh, we can actually package these features up and that layers on top of there. I think it's really critical. Wrapping up here, this has been, and I'll put a link, I'm going to put a link to the report, and then I've got an article coming out soon with the report as well. It's really, really good. What do you, like any predictions for, you know, the coming 12 months? We're heading into 2026. You know, have anything that you're looking to see, wanting to see, or think we'll see?
Yeah, I think there are, you know, passkeys as a technology isn't done and dusted. It's not as if we're just waiting for everyone to adopt them. The technology is evolving and new functionality is arriving with that technology. So what I'm interested in is how not only like new services adopting passkeys, but existing services that already adopt passkeys, how quickly do they adopt the new functionality that comes with passkeys? So I'll give you an example. There's one thing which is can be summarized as automatic passkey creation. It's quite jarring for a lot of people to be confronted with a UI that says, now create your passkey. What is a passkey? Why am I doing this? You know, the user could be quite startled at this stage, this early stage. What if, you know, the conditions were correct so that the credential, the password manager and the website can kind of negotiate and create a passkey on behalf of the user? So that, I think, will really help adoption. We also have things such as related origins requests. So think of a website like Amazon that has different domains, .com, .fr, .co.uk. Passkeys are kind of bound to an origin. So it's quite, doesn't really make sense. How can it work on multiple websites? Well, there is a functionality that, you know, is available that services can use to make sure one credential created on one domain works on their other domains. So these are just two examples, but the people behind the scenes are working really hard to make sure passkeys are not only serving like the needs that we need to kind of replace passwords, but the kind of new needs that we discover as passkeys get adopted are kind of solved. So I think that's what I'm excited about is like the new technologies that are coming online and how we can start to see that in the wild.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, this is not related to passkeys, but I had this situation last night. There was a just running to pick up something at a fast food place, and I'd ordered pre-ordered ahead, and like a for whatever reason, I couldn't remember my password. I hadn't set my password. I hadn't made an account before, and so like I reset it, and like so hit the reset the password, get the email, clicked it, let password manager create a new one, save it, good to go. All right, problem solved. So then go back to the app, go to log in. Hit my tap my thing, pull up my password manager, can't find it. Search for the brand name, can't find it. Search for the URL, can't find it. For whatever reason, their password reset URL is completely different than their brand name. Like not even like remotely close. And so that's a fair example of like that the idea behind that having multiple domains under that one passkey. That's a fair point, because like had that used passkeys, they like it wouldn't have worked. So no, that's a good point. I really hadn't considered that to be a problem until you mentioned that. But again, you've got tons of international situations where like there may be various subdomains in there. So Rui, this has been great. We're gonna have a link to the report in the show notes. One of the best reports I've read all year. These reports are super interesting. Again, I think it's particularly interesting to see how various brands, and as you mentioned, even these non-tech brands are adopting passkeys. And again, we are at that gradually then suddenly moment. Like we are at that suddenly moment where, we're going to look back, I think, I think towards the end of this decade, and you probably will be like, I don't remember the last time I created a website with an account with a password. Like it'll be like the ones you have will be just legacy. So Rui, thanks for chatting, and we will talk to everybody next week. All right.